Welcome again to DUMC live stream, and this is our online church. Now, in spite of social distancing, we must not forget, you know, that we are encouraged to be meeting together in spite of not being able to come together physically. And the word of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 to 25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, thank God for modern technology that we can keep in touch and connected even when we are not physically able to come together, but we are one in spirit. And I hope you will still meet up in your virtual cell group even during the weekdays as well. And this reminds me of, you know, the word of Apostle Paul, where he says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. And so it is quite amazing that we may not be physically together, but we are one in spirit. We are present in spirit with one another. And as always, we want to read the Word of God. Even if you are watching this from home, I want you to stand up and then read the Bible together. Why don't we all stand up right now and maybe take our Bible with us. And as always, I do this, lift up our Bible and say this together with me. Are you ready? You know the words. Ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Father, we pray that during this time, that even as we come, Lord, into your presence, as we read the Word of God, may you open up our eyes that we may be ready to know what your Word is saying, God. And we invite the Holy Spirit to come, and even as we utter this word, let the Word of Christ, God, come powerfully into each of our hearts and change the way we live our life. We pray all this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, church, are you ready to read? Why don't we read aloud together? It's right on the screen for you as well. Ready? One, two, go. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging. Because we are in a remote place here, he replied, you give them something to eat. And they answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. And about 5,000 men were there, but he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. May God bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. You know, our country suffered what I call a double whammy. The unexpected political fiasco, which was really unprecedented. And this tiny virus called COVID-19 that brought the whole world to a standstill, literally. And the COVID-19 has brought such suffering and upon thousands of people around the world. And in particularly in Malaysia, you know, there's first two deaths that's happening right here in our nation. And so one of them being a fellow pastor from Sarawak, although I don't know him at all, but I can sense the loss and the pain even of his family and his church as well. You know, there's also different kind of heartbreaks. And one engaged couple in DMC I know, you know, was actually planning for this beautiful wedding they're going to have in about a month's time. And, you know, even as we are going through all this, they were wondering whether their wedding will be cancelled or whether should they, you know, postpone it to another time. And all that, you know, now with the relatives now calling them and say that we can't come. And these are relatives, you know, who would have come because they have set the date for them. But now they're saying that we probably cannot come. So they really have to make a decision what to do. And so in that sense, you know, the bride, I understand, you know, have been so sad for many days now. And also a DUMC member, you know, who has the business, and he was telling us that if things don't take, you know, a turn for him, a few months down the road, he'll probably, you know, go bankrupt. And these are some of the problems that, you know, business people are going through as well. And because his business is tied to the travel industry. And of course, for some of you, you have to cancel the holiday and your money forfeited, and conferences, you know, have also been cancelled. And so these are some of the things that are happening in our midst, including, for example, this weekend, we are supposed to have the Watoto Children's Choir. and we have to cancel it. And a few invited speakers from overseas have actually called me now and say that we may not be able to come. And so, you know, in that sense, this COVID-19 has thrown us into some unusual and discomforting time for all of us. And so as we, you know, look at even last week's sermon, the Apostles' Creed, I talk about we are what we believe. And underlying all our behavior and reactions actually is a fundamental system of belief that we have. And but surely no one can blame us for being angry sometimes, or even, you know, frustrated or anxious. And this is a time I believe we are tested on what we believe in and what we believe about God and about His sovereignty. You know, but actually we are often tested in the worst of times. Who we are inside will be brought out in many of these situations that allow, you know, us to show who we really are inside. So as the saying goes, you know, it can bring the best out of us or the worst out of us. And then, of course, we read with amusement what's going on in supermarkets around, how people are panic buying, you know, especially toilet papers and other essentials, so much so that there was a herd mentality depriving many others of the supply and stock. And so, you know, as we look at all this, there's one question that I want to ask all of us. How do we, as Christian disciples, respond, you know, in a Christ-like manner? And so it's quite amazing that in even my own Bible reading, the Lord has spoken to me. That is why I wanted to share with you this passage from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 10 to 17. And no less at this very critical time of the nation, two national crises at hand, often we feel very helpless. But I tell you what, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to be confident that the future is not determined by men or circumstances of the world, but the future is actually determined by God. And so here's the big idea. The big idea is this, that I am not in control, God is. Let me repeat that. I am not in control, God is. And so there are basically three lessons I want to draw from the Word of God. It's about our call, our challenge, and our confidence. So the first one is our call. Now, how do you hold a healthy tension between being a citizen of this nation and a citizen of heaven? Now, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20-21 says this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." Now, how do we responsibly take all the necessary precautions, which I hope you are doing that in this MCO right now? You know, I pray that you are not going out unnecessary, but for the public good, you know, we all stay indoor so that this whole thing can be contained. So we take all the necessary precautions to prevent this, but we know it's not 100% foolproof, and we still need to put our trust in God's protection. So how do we act on certain things and yet at the same time be able to trust in this God of ours who is sovereign in all things? Now, there's no easy answer. How do you hold this healthy tension? You see, our call is to be a godly and useful citizens wherever God has placed us. And we are called to be a body of believers, you know, to be salt and light. And this can be found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Why don't you have a quick read of that as well in your own time? Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, about us being the salt and light. So let me tell you this, okay? We are not Malaysian by accident, but by a sovereign act of God, God has put us here in Malaysia for such a time as this. Now, Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says this, "From one man He made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands." So we are here, you know, because God has put us here. It says in the Word of God that He marked out our appointed time in history and the boundary of the land. And so He has put us here in this nation, and every person on this earth, God has put them where God wants them to be. So we are Malaysians, we are here in Malaysia, so what's our call? And so while we are here, while the world seems to be panicking and anxious, our call is to be the salt and light. We, for example, have set up a hotline for people of the community to call and just seek help if they need, you know, food, if they are running out of resources, you know, that hotline they could call. This is a church hotline and they can call and be able to get help. And in the last 2 days, this is already happening. People are calling in and we're going out to distribute food where people, you know, are now finding it so hard for especially those who are in the poorer community. And so in the next many days, hopefully I will be able to share more and more of these stories, how our people have been able to make a difference. So we need, you know, to really be reaching out to impact those, especially the poor, the needy, the outcasts, the underprivileged, and especially refugees, those who are undocumented. They are the ones really in much need. So we need, you know, rather than hoarding food for ourselves, which the world is really doing, we instead need to be giving. So church, you know, we need to look at the need around us, especially in the next many weeks, even after this MCO, when we're able to go out, you know, we need to be aware of the community around us, even including, you know, our so-called, you know, middle-income kind of a community. There are actually people in need. People are losing their business. Maybe some are losing their job because of the economic downturn. And so we need to be looking out to see where God will lead us to help them. And so, you know, this is our call. We need to be the salt and light. So the first is our call. Secondly is our challenge. Now, let me say this to you, that as Christians, that challenge is going to increase over time. It's not going to get better. You know, this world is not going to get better by itself. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need God to make, you know, things around us to be better than what it is. And we know that we are all expecting the second coming of Christ. And so our challenge while on this earth, we need to recognize that things are not going to get any better. And let me quote to you what Jesus himself said. Luke chapter 21, verse 10 to 11. He says that, you know, then he said to them, nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. You know, so here, the key word, there will be great earthquakes, famine, and pestilences. You know, this pandemic we are facing right now is a pestilence, and it's not going to go away. Maybe another one will come. The point is that the challenges will be ahead of us, but how do we respond? So here, Jesus himself has actually brought this up, that this will be on increase. You need to know that as the Church of Jesus Christ. So really, Jesus is telling us, why are you surprised by all this? Why are you surprised that things are not going well around you? Because you are actually pilgrims going through this earth, and there will be a better home one day. And it is in the midst of this challenge that the Lord brought this particular passage to me from Luke chapter 9, verse 12 to 14. Here, let me read it again one more time for you, where it says that, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here. Now, interestingly, the disciples were concerned, you know, of the 5,000 people that were there, and those that were counted were the men. If you were to add in the women and the children, there could be easily be 10,000 people, you know, right where the disciples were. So they were concerned. It was good that they were concerned to say that it's already late in the afternoon. Let them go to find food. Let them go, you know, seek out lodging. And so, you know, they turned to Jesus and say, will you let them go now so that they can seek out for their basic needs? And then this is the reply of Jesus, rather interestingly. Verse 13, he says, you give them something to eat. So that is actually quite an interesting statement here. Because then when Jesus asked them, do you give them something to eat? This is their answers. They say, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So here, Jesus is basically telling the disciples to do something they cannot do. And Jesus knew that. And so when the disciples said that they only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, this is what I call an impossible sum. Meaning that, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish is not equal to 5,000 men. And when this challenge was given to the disciples, I think that they have no choice to realize that we can't do this, all right? And they have no choice but to turn to Jesus now and said, what should we do then? And so Jesus set them down in groups, you know, of 50s. And I think there's this look on the disciples' face when Jesus asked them to sit the people down in a group of 50s. They knew it was an impossible sum, but Jesus set them down anyway because a miracle is going to happen. And the disciples set them down, Jesus gave thanks for the food and they started to distribute, you know, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And we know the rest of the story. Not only did they have enough to eat, all right, because the Bible says there they were satisfied, meaning there were more than enough to eat. And so, you know, with that, you know, a miracle of the impossible scale has happened right before the eyes of the disciples. Maybe the crowd did not realize this, but in the eyes of the disciples, they realized that this is a miracle of immense proportion. There is no way, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish can feed 5,000 to 10,000 people, and with 12 basketfuls of broken pieces left over. And so that is the challenge. That sometimes when we look at the things around us, you know, we look at it, it's an impossible sum. There is no way. And that is why my big idea comes in. You see, often we are not in control. I am not in control. God is. And so sometimes we look at impossible sum. Maybe right now in your life, you have an impossible sum. Maybe you look at your business, you look at your own health, maybe you look at the things or your relationship issues. There's so many issues in our life. It's an impossible sum. And this is so important for us, therefore to turn to look at Jesus and say, Jesus, what would you have me do? So that's our challenge in the midst of all these things that are happening. So our call, our challenge, and this is the best part. Even as we see Jesus doing what he is doing, we have confidence. And therefore, I title my third point as our confidence. You see, the Lord put me in the shoes of the disciples. Like I say, it was an impossible sum. I am definitely not in control. Now, how many of us, I mentioned earlier, as we look at the situation of this COVID, of the economy, you know, that's going downhill, and many of these things, even the political situation of nation, we ask ourselves, this is an impossible sum. Our confidence now is this. We look to Jesus, not at ourselves, not at the situations around us, but we look to Jesus. And he did a miracle. He did a miracle for the disciples. And he will only do a miracle in our life if we surrender the little that we have. The little that we have, we say to Jesus, Lord, this is all I can do, Lord. I am not in control, but you are. And so when we turn our eyes towards him, he will do the rest. No wonder Jesus himself said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, do you know how small the mustard seed is? It is so small, right? One is the smallest seed, but eventually it's going to grow into a huge tree. And so Jesus said, if you have a faith of mustard seed, you can move mountain. And so in that sense, we are reminded that it is not our faith that really counts. With the little faith that we have, it is the object of faith that is most important. And the object of faith is Jesus. And that is why in the Apostle Creed series, in the first sermon, I mentioned, I believe in. It is not just about, you know, what you believe or why you believe. The more important thing is that is who we believe in. And so the whom is very, very important. And it is in this Jesus that he is in control that we turn to. Now, rather interestingly, you know, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, the number 5 actually represent you know, what I call human weakness. In fact, the Bible talks about this, that the number five have appeared many times, and it symbolizes human weakness and limitation in the light of God's covenant and grace. So man, in that sense, is insufficient in himself. And therefore, as these five loaves and two fish are added up, now, interestingly, five and two add up to seven. And the seven in the Bible usually symbolize perfection and completeness of God. So in the imperfection, five of man, when God add the two fish, it becomes seven. You know, God's completeness and God's perfection now come into our life. And so this story reminds us that we are never sufficient or adequate in ourselves until we surrender everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. So coming back to my big idea, you know, I am not in control. We are not in control. God is. And so as we, you know, look at our situation around us, what I call the double whammy, you know, in that sense, the COVID-19 has overtaken these political uncertainties in our life. And who knows, today may be this problem, tomorrow another problem. There could be many other problems in our challenges, all right? And God is really saying to us, turn your eyes to Him. Even in all that is going on in our life, we are not in control, God is. So let me end by asking you this question. Are we turning our eyes towards God even right at this moment? Are our lives and our church shining forth the glory of God in the midst of uncertainties? So this is a great time for reflection and examination of our lives, and it's time to pray, and that even in the midst of this challenge, we need to stand for what is right in serving the community. And so this is a great discipleship moment. Church, even as you are in some sense isolated in the home, it is a great time to reflect. And I pray that out of this, you know, MCO, you know, we are able to even come out the other end a better person. So in some sense, don't waste this MCO. Allow this, you know, for God to build deeper into our life. And so we are not in control of things. God is. So I pray that this message will be helpful for you, even to look at the things around you and be able to respond appropriately to God. Why don't we bow our heads in prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the all-knowing God. You are the all-powerful God, and you are the ever-present God. And even as we come as God's people to you, Lord, we come with all our inadequacy. We come, God, with all that we don't have, that we now surrender it to you, asking in a special way, God, you would take the five loaves and the two fish and transform it, Lord, into things that are sufficient not only for us, but for the community around us. So use us powerfully, God, to be a blessing to many, Lord, in the days to come, God. So Lord, encourage us. Encourage us that we may as a church, Lord, continue to grow in you. That in the midst, God, in a world where there are no answers, God, we will be able, Lord, to say to them, look to Jesus. Lord, give us opportunities, God, for the gospel, that we may be a blessing to them, God. And we pray all this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And before I go, I want to just encourage you that if you have a question, you know, that is on the screen, you know, especially if you have a computer or a tablet, on the screen, there's something that you can click on to say request prayer. So you can click on that and someone will come online and have a chat with you and maybe even pray with you. And those, if you are not a Christian, you know, and this, in this sermon here, and somehow God has touched you, you know, there is a button there you can click, all right, to say raise hand, where you actually say, I want to know something about this Jesus pastor that you're talking about. Now you click on that and then you click the next button to request prayer. Someone will come to you and be able, you know, to actually have a chat with you and help you in your growth in God, and maybe to just inquire the Lord about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you're not a Christian, there are three things that you know, you can do. You know, I've said this to many people who are not Christians. There are three things. If you really want to draw near to Jesus, all you need to do is to say sorry, and then you say thank you, and then you say please. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, in your heart, If you want to come to this person called Jesus Christ, who can offer you, you know, something that is beyond what the world can offer, and that's called eternal salvation, all you need to do is say sorry to him. Sorry in the sense that you've been trying to run your own life very independently from God, and you've done certain things that you're not proud of, and you say sorry, you ask God for forgiveness. Then the second thing is that you say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. You know, thank you that on the cross you paid the penalty of my sin, that I'm supposed to die, but you die for me instead. Thank you. And then thirdly, you say, please, Jesus, come to my life, make me a new person. Please accept, you know, me for who I am, and make me a new person so that I can be a child of God. Now, if you were to say that prayer in your heart, you know, God will come into your life. So if you want to make that decision, make sure you click, you know, that button on the screen and have someone speak to you or write to you about what you are going through right now. So God bless you. Have a great day ahead of you.